As these finish up in prayer, if you want to grab Jeremiah chapter 32 and in one hand, and on the other hand, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. People would say that we are creatures of habit, and I would say, no, I can break any habit. You know, it's not too much. I've literally looked over there about a dozen times to see what time it is. And I'm the one that said move the clock. Like, I knew the clock got moved. Unbelievable. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Turn over, keep your hand in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, and then we'll pray. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, and thank you for the assurance of this truth that there is nothing impossible with you. That God, you hold all power and all knowledge, and you can do what you will. Lord, I pray as we are very much aware that you are able, God, I pray that we would be the instruments that you could use for your honor and glory. Lord, bless this message now in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And God is able." How many of you can testify God is able? Absolutely. We can go through the scriptures from the very beginning as we looked at Jeremiah chapter 32. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Many of you maybe have been in a project or a job and you just got in. How many of you have ever gotten in over your head? How many of you know what I mean by that? Yeah, absolutely. Then we call Mr. Seatman and then he comes and helps us. You understand that the Lord never gets in over his head. He's able to do it all. He can handle all of it. Bible says, and God is able. He's able to make all grace abound toward you. He's able to, as we follow through the timeline of the scriptures, we follow miracle after miracle. He's able to make water stand up on end. He's able to walk on that very water. He's able to give blind sight. He's able to make those that have never walked walk again. He's able to bring the dead back to life. There's nothing, right, our God cannot do. My God is so big, right? We sing the children's songs. They could be singing it tonight. There's nothing. That is indisputable. That is that. There is no question about God's ability. How have you ever questioned your own ability? Sure, right? Right, we get into things and go, oh, Lord, what am I doing? I'm in a place where I ought not to be. As I told you last week, I got my wisdom teeth out, and there I was, and sitting on the in the place, and real nice nurse. She's talking me through the whole process, and she's like, here's what we're going to do, and the doctor's great, and he's wonderful. And I look over at the tray, and I see all the tools, and I thought, whoo. If we switch spots, I wouldn't know what to do. Like, I'm looking at the tools, but I would have no idea where to begin. You know, the Lord never feels like that. Lord's always got a plan. He had a plan. He's working a plan. You're right in the middle of His plan. He knows where He wants to get you. He's got plans going on all around us, and He is able to get all those things done. Man, that's a blessing to know that that's our God. Tonight, as we study this passage, we can 100% say nothing is impossible with God. God can create if there is none. Hey, God looks down and says, I'm going to earth. So I'll just bring stuff together and make it. He doesn't need stuff. He can just make stuff. So I'm going to ask this question tonight. If God can do whatever he wants and he has all power and nothing is impossible, what's the limiting factor in God's ability? It's us. There's some things that take, listen now. And I don't want you to think bigger of yourself than what you are. But there's some things that we could do to limit what God wants to do. Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse 27. Familiar passages, but Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. We're familiar with this. Disciples are in a boat. The storm comes. Jesus shows up walking towards them. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter comes out with one of the strangest sentences and thoughts. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. Can we just think about that for a second? With the understanding that nothing is impossible with God. Hey, there's density levels. Do we understand what density is, right? There's a reason that ice cubes float in the water. And there's a reason that you don't. You don't float. You sink. Say, I don't know, I've been having a lot of food lately and I think I'm a little more buoyant. You might be more buoyant, but you will sink. We can go test it if you want. But none of you outside of the power of God can walk on water. God does a miracle here. He breaks a natural law in that he's number one standing on the water. And then Peter says, can I come out there? He's like, yeah, come on out. And there's two guys in the midst of a storm outside of a boat standing on water. God is able. But something changes in a moment. Something changes in our story. Not that God isn't able, but when he saw the wind, the Bible says in verse 30, boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, what hinder? Not that God wasn't able. We know that he was able. How do we know that? Peter was literally standing on the water. So why did he begin to sink? Did God's power letten up? Did he forget how to keep Peter above the water? Was there a shift in the wind? Or was it what? Lack of faith. Christ calls him out. He says, oh, he brings it to our attention. Here's why you're sinking. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It wasn't in God's ability, because God is able to do the impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. He has all ability. So here, as we go out, what is it that limits God's ability? Peter is standing face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is escorting him out onto the water as he walks step after step in what should be liquid going down. It is hard, it is solid, and he's standing there maybe hand in hand, face to face, eye to eye, and all of a sudden he begins to sink. Was it God's inability? No, it was Peter's lack of faith. What is it that limits God's ability in our life? Could it be our lack of faith? Matthew chapter 17, similar story. Verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. He's crazy. And sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him, it says. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. Christ empowers the disciples to go and do what he was doing. The ability to heal and preach and do all of these things. He gave, what happened? Was God not able? No. He says, O faithless. O faithless. And I just wonder. I wonder if we blame the Lord for his inability when it's not his inability but our lack of faith. What's the limiting factor in God's ability? As it was said, it's you and I. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Over the last couple of years, I would say very familiar verses. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What limits God's ability is our fears. Our lack of faith, the presence of fear. Here, what happens when the spirit of fear is gone? What is given in exchange? Power, love, and a sound mind. If we look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, 1 John 4:18, it says this: There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. There's no fear in love. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. The two can't go hand in hand. They can't coexist. God says, I'm trying to do things around you, but you're afraid. You're lacking in faith. Why don't you just trust me? He says. I'll give you a sound mind. Oh, the peace of God. Oh man, there's no comparison. There's nothing like the peace of God in your life. We try and manufacture it and try and create a feeling of, oh, I feel good about this decision, when we know in our heart God ain't anywhere near this. You better walk in fear, because God's nowhere near what you're about to do. And then we blame God for his inability to work. It's not God's inability. It's our lack of faith and the presence of fear. Because where there is no fear, his power is. His power is. I don't know what it looked like when Moses walked out and those waters parted up. I don't know if it's like what Charlton Heston looked like. I don't know. But man, going out with the confidence of God, standing there, and all of a sudden those waters part. The limiting factor in God's ability is our lack of faith in the presence of fear. Thirdly, and lastly, let us remember that God has endless resources. Wouldn't that be nice? Let's think about that fact for a moment. Endless resources. I was telling, I think, kids in Mrs. Hodges' class a little bit couple days, maybe it was yesterday or today or something. I walked in and I was remembering in my mind, we had Samuel, and he was just a baby, and we were living in a little apartment, and someone at church here gave us a blank check. Say, on purpose? Yeah, on purpose. And it said, and they said, whatever you need, just fill it out. Whoa. What did you write in that? Well, man, that was a real blessing. We often have a similar thought with where Solomon and the Lord interact. And the Lord comes to Solomon and says, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. You could have wealth. You could have fame. What do you want? What does he say? He says, I want wisdom. Imagine if the Lord gave you a blank check. What would you? Imagine going to the Lord who has endless resources. Imagine anything you wanted to do, you could do. There was no limit to the financial resources. There's no limit to the ability that you had. Man, how wonderful would that be? What could we do? Let's look at Psalm 50 for a second, just so we can talk about the Lord and compare. The thought here, endless resources. We're going somewhere with this. All right. So, Psalm 50, verse 10. Often quoted, often referenced. Now you'll get a chance to see it. You can underline it. Psalm 50 and verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, the Bible says. God says this. And the cattle upon a thousand hills. Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hills. How many of you have ever heard that phrase before? Sure. What does that mean? Endless resources. He wants steak, he's got a thousand of them. He wants this, he's... Say, man, what would it be like to if you had endless gold? You can make a giant city whose one wall is from like, oh, Rochester all the way down to Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's how big New Jerusalem is going to be. That's just one side of the wall. It's four square. Man, unbelievable. What would you do with endless resources? I'd make a city out of gold. All right, he does, doesn't he? No resources is a problem. Go to Psalm 24. God has all ability, nothing is impossible, and he has endless resources. Psalm 24 and verse 1. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas and established upon the floods. Who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? What doesn't God have? God has all the gold, he has all the cattle, he has all power, all knowledge, all ability. Is there any resource that God is lacking? Ezekiel chapter 22. What on earth could hinder the work of the Lord? God has all ability. Nothing is impossible. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Verse 23, it says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is the Lord speaking, I sought for a man among them. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, but that's not what he wants. He wants you. He's got so much gold, he's making an enormous city. That's not what he wants. Since the beginning of time, he has established a way to have a relationship with you. God, who has all ability, God, who has nothing is impossible, has an absence of workers. He said, I got jobs. And no one to fill them. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And what does the Bible say? But I found none. To the God who has all ability and nothing's impossible, and the cattle on a thousand hills, and the earth is the Lord's, he is looking for some volunteers that would just say, God, use me however you want. Last passage, John chapter 4. I want to remind you tonight, God is still able. He's able to do all, but he's looking for some helpers. Love John chapter 4. It's the story of the woman at the well. She runs into town and she says, come see a man. And while she's talking to the townspeople, the Lord uses this opportunity to talk to his disciples. This is what's happening starting in verse 30. Then they went out of the city and they came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him ought to eat? And Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know what the Lord's looking for? Just do the will of God. Verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What are the limiting factors in God's ability? Number one, our lack of faith. Number two, the presence of fear. Number three, an absence of workers. A couple weeks ago, Brother Barkowski from Old Paths Bible Baptist Church gave Pastor Seatman and I a call and said, just wanted to take you out for a real nice lunch. And he took us out for steaks for lunch. He sat us down and he says, listen, I just want to make it abundantly clear. I have no agenda. Just want to spend time with you. How nice. And there we were sitting down having dinner and or lunch. And as we walked in, there was a sign that said, sorry for the poor service. We're lacking in workers. You know what? There's one area that should never lack in workers. And that's the work of the Lord. There's no higher calling than the calling of God. Wouldn't it be a shame for the God who has all ability and nothing is impossible, who can make men walk on water, to have jobs that are open and no one to fill them? God's able. That is settled. But are we willing to go in faith and love to do what He has called us or given us an opportunity to do? Hey, you check your life. You check your life and are you, I know, again, I don't want to put too much power into your head like, wow, I'm controlling God. But think about that thought. The only thing that limits God's ability is you. I don't want to be that. I want to be ashamed that if He looked down on our generation and said, man, I look for someone that would stand up and go do a job I had and I couldn't find anybody. Had all the resources. I have all the ability. They just got to trust me. I wonder what it is that the Lord wants to do with you and I. Are we hindering the work of the Lord? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I just want you to evaluate in your own life. Hey, your individual walk with the Lord is important in the grand scheme of all Christianity. It's important. Don't lack in faith. Don't let fear take root and keep you from doing what God has called you to do. And if He asks you to do something, just do that. I don't want on my watch the Lord to say, I looked for somebody and there was nobody. I want to be available to the Lord. Let's all stand. Hey, let's remember God's able. I don't know what He's doing at your workplace. I don't know what He's doing at your school. I don't know what He's doing in your neighborhood. But the very God that can bring water up as a wall and then walk on it if He wants to, you can't tell me He's not. You can't tell me He's doing nothing around you. Yeah, He's taking this generation up, and that's not the case. He has you where you're at for a purpose. Don't lack faith. Don't let fear limit what God is trying to do around you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You for the challenge that it brings to us. Lord, help us to not get complacent and just satisfied and comfortable in our life, Lord. God, help us to continue to walk in faith. Help us to not be stricken with fear. But Lord, help us to continually make ourselves available to You to use us however You see fit. Lord, I ask You, watch over us now, protect us. Lord, again, bring us back safely on Sunday again to worship You. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.